Hello, and welcome to Sheree Lindberg's Elevated Life Academy, Stories of Hope and Healing. Through raw and heartfelt conversations, we uncover the powerful tools and strategies these individuals use to not only heal themselves, but also inspire those around them. Join us on this incredible journey as we discover the human spirit's remarkable capacity to heal, find hope in the darkest of moments, and ultimately live an elevated life.
Welcome to another episode of Elevated Life Academy, and I am your host, Sheree Lindberg, and we have an interesting guest here today that I'm excited to learn more about and hear about his journey and his work that he's done in the world. And so I'll let Ron introduce himself, Ron Stotz, and I'm going to leave it up to you, Ron, and then we're going to have a conversation and see where this takes us.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can get myself in trouble here. At this point in my life, and for the last, say, 10 or 15 years, I've really been primarily an executive coach, working with high-level entrepreneurs and C-suites and that type of thing. And what took me there is, I had worked with high-level people before, but I never thought of them as, anything other than just other clients and that type of thing. But I think it was around when I was publishing my first book, my publisher was saying, well, who's your audience? Who's your avatar? All those words that we use these days.
Yes.
And I, so whoever is ready to go on this personal growth journey and discover who they are. And she said, well, yeah, but we have to, So we had a good talk about it. And since my whole mission in life is to really create a more conscious and caring world, it's like, well, who can have the greatest impact in supporting that mission? And we really realized, a little surprising to me, but it's conscious leaders. And so a high-level conscious leader can really have a huge impact, not only on their organization, but in a societal level. And it's a lasting impact. I happen to have this unique ability to take people into higher levels of consciousness and develop their leadership to the highest levels. And so that became my target audience, and it's really been rewarding. I tell you, you work with somebody who's got 2,000 employees, and you just watch it disseminate through, as they might send their C-suites, and how that affects everybody's family and the societal, level of not only the people that work there, but their families too. And so it's working.
Wonderful, Ron. I'd love to hear more about that. My newsletter is about building a conscious community. Mm-hmm. So would really love to hear about, can you take us on a little mini journey of maybe what you would do with a leader to help them move more into consciousness? And I really love that picture of it disseminating through their whole company.
Yeah. The people that come to me are really quite successful. I mean, they're doing well and been charging through life for quite some time. But then they've hit that classic glass ceiling, and they're not sure what's going on. They're doubling down on doing what they've done before, and it's not working. They're finding themselves frustrated and not able to create what they want to create all of a sudden. And to me, it's just an indicator that they're ready to evolve. They need mm-hmm. more of themselves. And so the journey that I offer is a journey where they really get to go within themselves and access all the parts of themselves that they left behind, primarily in childhood, but even after that point, so that they were accepted, so that they were successful and got the attention, the love, the accolades that they wanted. And, oftentimes they're very smart. And, I found that they'd use that logical left brain, gotten, the love and attention in school growing up, and it got them the right job, and they got them everything that they seem to have wanted in life. But then they get to this point where that's not enough.
Yeah.
That's when I really introduce them to, healing that little child, that little boy, that little girl within themselves, so that they can neurologically open up and integrate the left and the right brain being more emotionally oriented, spatially spontaneous, and big picture oriented. And so all of a sudden, that logic that has gotten them so far and they've done well with, all of a sudden it's amplified tremendously with that integration. And then that takes them into another level that quiets the mind, because that subconscious thought, as they get to know themselves better, which it's really a journey of self-discovery, of course. But as they learn to get to know and accept themselves more fully and heal all that whatever they shoved into that inner cave that my mentor Joseph Campbell talked about, and you've got to go into that cave you fear to enter to find what you're looking for. It's just a matter of, all of a sudden, as you heal that, their mind gets quieter, because that things aren't subconscious anymore, they're conscious, and they become conscious, they heal them, and as they heal them, they quiet their mind, and as they quiet their mind, the forebrain begins to develop in that, and it can only develop more fully in that quiet environment. And that forebrain is really intended to be the conscious CEO of our life. Most of us are run by our amygdalas and their that emotional center. You know, things, impulse comes in and we figure out how we should feel about that and send different messages to the brain, see how we should emotionally react to it. And that's really a sabotage and fear-based way of going through life, where once you develop, heal the past and develop that forebrain, it really has that bigger picture. Well, what's best for everybody? What's, you know, because it's the herd mentality rather than the isolated reptilian mind working there.
Yeah.
And so, and all of a sudden, people get to that place, and they all of a sudden, it's not just about them, but it's about, well, you know, their family, and then it becomes about others in their environment and at work and that type of thing. And they really, everybody gets to that same place where they want to create a more conscious and caring world, because that's what works for everybody,
right?
Themselves, their children, and all. So,
yeah. Well, I'm making an assumption here, but I could be wrong, but I'm assuming you went on this journey yourself, Ron. So who helped you along? Who helped you on that journey so that you could get to this place where you could be mentoring and coaching folks?
Yeah, well, you know, it was the greatest, worst year of my life. I'd been a U.S. rowing champion, and so I was, you know, charging through life at 18, and Vietnam War was going on, and I felt like, since I wasn't a really great student, I should go, you know, follow my father's footsteps from World War II and go into the military and serve. And in that initial months of that, I ran face into that I was a conscientious objector. Never entered my mind, because I grew up in the Northwest, you know, clamoring through the woods and playing and everything. But I realized that I really, you know, didn't know myself, and all the values that I had taken on, all those perspectives of who I was and what I was, my life was about, I realized were not, you know, who I truly was. And that's a kind way to say that, having lost dozens of friends in Vietnam, that I left after a year on a medical discharge a shattered human being. I mean, I truly was. At 21, you know, I lost everything. You know, I had a child and got divorced and lost custody of the child. And just, yeah, I was devastated and didn't know what to do from anything, and became very suicidal. And I was in a moment of committing suicide, quite literally, that had an experience that changed my life. Especially for, you know, who I was back then, I literally was thrusting a hunting knife into my heart and at full speed. And I was a big, strong guy back then, so there was no withhold. And I suddenly dissolved in a white ball of light and experienced the oneness of the universe, the perfection of the universe, and that there was a place for me, that there was, you know, did have purpose and meaning. And I don't know how long that timeless experience lasted, but that was, you know, it became, okay, how do I know that connection? How do I know that connection all the time throughout my life? And so that became my journey. You know, I went up to island up in the northern, you know, Puget Sound area of Washington, and we had a little cabin and some family property that, you know, when I say cabin, I'm talking outhouse, and we're not talking a fancy cabana kind of thing. And And I, you know, I'd sit there and read everything I could find. I'd walk, and it was the middle of winter, so it was very quiet and didn't have much food. I think I ate apples for a few weeks because that's all I had. But I learned to quiet. I learned to get centered. I learned to breathe. And I began to get a sense of myself, who I was. And that's when it was time to leave that more huddled environment, that cocoon, and step into the world. And that's where I started, you know, actually going back into the academic initially, but also finding teachers. I was totally blessed finding all sorts of amazing people like Buckminster Fuller. People don't even know their names any longer, but Joseph Campbell and all these amazing people. And yeah, just the journey continues. I became co-director of a brain integration center, which that allowed me to work with the best of the best for years and years, because we were kind of leading edge with the left and right brain research we were doing, the workshops we were offering. So we had, you know, I was in my 20s. I was still a kid in many ways. But all these people would come and they would let me take all of their teacher training program, you know, for costs that I couldn't have possibly afforded.
Nice.
And then they'd come and take our programs, and then we would co-create programs. So it was just this intense high-level learning, but just a blast. So I'm learning and working with the very, very best out there. And that went on for years. And then I finally went off on my own. I got my PhD and all those kinds of pieces of paper that are a bunch of nonsense at this point.
Yeah. I feel you on that one too. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have, you know, there wasn't somebody like me to go to back then. I wouldn't have had the money or the awareness or anything else to even find them. But then, you know, people were still studying Freud and Jung and pretty basic. I mean, the whole academic psychology department was just years and years, decades behind where the leading edge personal development was. And, you know, the piece of paper was silly to get at that point, because what I was actually doing was way advanced compared to that.
And yeah.
So it's just continued on. You know, a deep spiritual part of my life developed back then. I'm working with spiritual teachers and meditating probably 30,000 hours by the time I was 40 or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
But yeah, it's been a great path. You know, I've had centers in Switzerland for many years and here, and, you know, so it's given me the opportunity to serve and support and grow in many ways.
Well, it's wonderful to hear your story, because in many ways, Elevated Life is the reason that came to be in existence, is wanting to be an educational platform out there for anyone that is ready for the journey, just like you said, but maybe they haven't been exposed to these simple things that can help them live an elevated life. I've been around so many people in the world today that are still overwhelmed by their traumas, or, you know, they realize they have an, you know, high adverse childhood experience scale, and oh my gosh, you know, like, that's going to take me out early, so why do I bother? Like, a lot of, you know, limited beliefs. And what we're all about is helping people grow their consciousness, helping them learn you can do simple things to elevate your life. I talk a lot about post-traumatic growth, that it's, you know, at some point you got to leave trauma and move into the post-traumatic growth. So it sounds, you know, right up your alley with the work that you've been doing.
Yep.
Yeah. So are you still actively mentoring and coaching folks now?
I certainly am. Yeah. Of my own. In fact, I just started a new coaching program. I have but what I've had primarily is programs. There's a 8-week Creating Your Inspired Life program that's more about healing the inner child, cleaning up your past, getting a good foundation to build your life. And then there's a 9-month program that's more about, okay, let's really elevate your consciousness, integrate all of this into your life, and become the conscious leader, conscious person that you are capable of being. And that's all gone extremely well for many, many years. But I realized that I wanted to, there was just opportunity and a calling to do more higher level coaching. And so it's called Next Level Coaching. And so
okay.
I'm offering that now. And I also was asked to co-direct a new coaching program that is just being developed. And I'm a co-director of the life and transformational aspect of it. There's a whole other business, you know, informational coaching aspect. And so, yeah, and that's
well, great.
That's underway and, you know, growing. And yeah, I even have another thing that I'm developing more AI oriented that I'm very excited about, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, great. I mean, it sounds like you love your work and
my work.
Yeah, I really hear that just by the way that you're talking. Now, do you travel a lot too? Or is this primarily all online with the work that you're doing?
You know, I have clients all over the world, India, mm-hmm. Australia, California, that foreign place south of here. Yeah, all of Canada, of course, and, you know, from all over. And I would say half, at least, probably three quarters, travel here for some live work. Mm-hmm. But then the other aspect is also online. Yeah, so we are weekly online and then, you know, they'll come for 2-day intensives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Each program has a different amount of those. And
yeah.
That one-on-one, that the intimacy, the safety, the connection, the depth allows me to just sit and be absolutely present, responsive to whatever they are. And that allows us to go to levels of depth that where the real healing takes place. It's not just beating mm-hmm. up things. It's pulling the root.
Yes, I understand what you're talking about. I do intensives as well. So
I'm very big on transformation, not just, you know.
Exactly, right. Let's not just shift. Let's go to the core and, yeah, do the work. Yeah, wonderful. Can you share more about maybe a challenge that you experienced through your process? And then maybe like a success that pops up just from me asking, like something that really shifted for you or expanded your consciousness?
Yeah, I guess I know the vulnerable spots that you're touching. It's you know, I of course had some spiritual teachers that were terrible and some spiritual teachers that were wonderful. And, you know, I was around amazing people that, some had written all these books that everybody, you know, thinking they were wonderful, but as you get to know the person, they're really not the person who they were mm-hmm. should be if they're writing that book or expected to be. And so, you know, and those were in the early years, even my late 20s, early 30s. Executive Vice President of Inner Game Corporation. And yeah, I was doing all sorts of different things and working with my spiritual teacher. I was kind of one of his main support people. And so, you know, there's thousands of people in that organization. But so I saw the good and the bad of it. And then in therapy, there was a period where all the people coming in, or not all the people, but numerous people coming in were from different spiritual communities or organizations, you know, that are supposed to be high-level conscious organizations. And so I was hearing all the dark side of all of that. And so, you know, I was very clear that I wanted to avoid any of that. And in my early 30s, I caught myself early on before I damaged anybody else, but I watched my tendencies coming out and, you know, the dark side, I mean, the surface. And I was of an age that, you know, if that happened now, I'd be wonderful. I'd be, oh, good, a new next thing to heal. Back then, it scared me because I'd seen it play out so much in these other people's lives that I really respected. And so I backed away. I dropped out. I closed both of my centers, and one in Switzerland, one in Santa Barbara, and just said, I've got to regroup. I've got to figure out, you know, heal whatever this is, where are those tendencies coming from. And and so it was difficult to jump off the top of the mountain and be back at the bottom. But it gave me the opportunity to heal things that were very scary for me. Things that literally I thought I was going to die in the process of healing. And, you know, just that scary for me. But in that healing, I, of course, became more, you know, I found the path that I'm more on now, just less process, enjoying the process. I mean, you know, to me now, my only, all I have to do is breathe, be curious, and present. It's literally, my ego's job is to keep me breathing, curious, and present, because whatever comes into my life will then be, I'll be able to see it from a most conscious place. I'll be able to see it from a place where I'll be able to know what I'm feeling, know what I'm thinking, know how I'm responding to it, and respond in the most supportive way that I can for myself and others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what I teach, is life is about, the more conscious you are, the more you can handle whatever comes into your life. Everything, to be honest with you, is a huge opportunity. It's not a problem. A problem is nothing but an indicator that you're ready to grow and heal. And I say, yee-haw.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's working.
Wonderful. I really thank you so much for sharing so authentically and vulnerably. I really, you know, I hear how hard that was. And at the same time, I hear you really trying to walk your talk in terms of, hey, I'm not in alignment here. I need to figure out what's going on. And so stepping away so that you could really align with who you really were and are, so then you could create from that place.
Yeah.
I hear that. I was just, you know, listening to your journey and listening to where you're at now. And I'm hoping to get there. I'm still working on that. I'm on the path of continuing to listen inside and really feel all the feels and journaling about what I'm noticing and so forth, and still trying to discover, even at 56, what is it that I truly want? It's been a wild ride so far, and I love it. But like you, I want to be in alignment. And I'm still questioning whether or not I'm completely in alignment. And I don't even know completely. So I'm like, and a lot of the folks that I work with and that we talk on Elevated Life is helping them recognize that uncertainty is okay. Like, you don't have to have a plan. You don't have to, you know, the best thing to do is be yourself and be present. And then it can be like this beautiful discovery. So I really love how you're talking about it. And I would love to get there myself. I want to say that because it feels, by sitting with you energetically, that there is a joy in every day.
I'm absolutely grateful that I get to be, well, this life that I have, marriage that I have, the friends that I have, but the life that I have, it's such a privilege to be part of this journey with others. Yeah. Watch them blossom and become, to watch them then reach out, and not only in their own family, but in their organizations, transform them.
Yes.
And the truth is, I mean, you know, business is about making money. That's the bottom line. But they recognize that, oh, if I do this consciously, then I'll not only create a more supportive, collaborative, and caring team, but they'll be more productive. Mm-hmm. When they're more productive, it's more profitable
for everybody.
Lo and behold, I don't have to be this, excuse my language, this controlling asshole.
Right.
I can be this kind, caring, and collaborative and cooperative person who brings out the best in everybody, and that turns out to be like a leader's real job.
Yes.
And everything gets better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm so aligned with that, and I just think of my own work history and so forth. And look, I was in business quite a bit. And then I went into psychology thinking that would be, oh, they'll have more feelings. Well, maybe, but they can also use a lot of manipulative psychobabble to, you know, steer and so forth. So really listening to what you're saying, I just wish more people would realize that you can live as a conscious leader. And like you said, that helping people reach their highest potential, how can that not be good for everybody, right? Because it's coming from a place of love and care and connection and wanting to make everyone's lives better.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at politics, when you look at so many aspects of our world today, of our life, it's all fear-based. And even A lot of people use try and make people even more afraid so that they can control them and all, you know, but it's, if you, that fear is always sourced within that relationship between you and that inner child.
Right.
Because you're always looking for acceptance. You're always looking for that love. You know, I've asked this question all over the world. What does a child want more than anything else? And everybody knows unconditional love.
Right.
And they'll do anything to get that.
Yep.
So it's like, well, what did you do to get unconditional love? What parts of yourself did you stuff away and hide into that inner kid? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you become? What did you give up? And it's reconnecting to all those parts that you
put
away that'll allow you to become whole. And in that wholeness, you find your authenticity. You find being in a higher state of consciousness where everything is an opportunity rather than a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. In other words, it's rigged in your favor.
Right.
You know,
right.
I often say that there is a bunch of unconscious little parts running the country right now. I often say that. Like we all of our little parts are out here.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for that. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that would be something you'd want to share with our listeners?
You know, a lot of times people feel like it's, well, I had somebody say the other day, and this is somebody I'd done some deep work with, but they were kind of on and off again. And we went through a moment in an honest, he said something that was so honest that it kind of shocked both of us. And his comment was, what if I'm not fixable? You know, this is a high C-suite, you know, anybody else looking at his life, you know, wow. But yeah, that fear that we're not fixable, that fear, all of those limitations are really who we are. You know, we've got to find the courage to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. We've got to find the courage to shift our center from fear to love. Mm-hmm. Because as you heal your past, you truly, literally open up your heart. And as you open up your heart, you open up your mind. So you see everything differently. I literally recognize that everything that comes into my life is there to support me, to help me to grow and you know, open up and become more. So why, there's nothing to be afraid of when you're, mm-hmm. when you're in a state of consciousness where you can see what the opportunity is and you can react and respond to everything coming in a supportive way. If you're not in a good state of consciousness and you're down more in fear, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty difficult.
Well, I'm just hearing, too, that you're in a state of trust, not just love, but you're also in a state of trust.
I wouldn't even say trust. I would say in total, yeah, trust indicates that I'm trusting something. It's beyond that, and I'm not even sure what the word is.
Okay.
I'm just in agreement and gratitude. I'm just sitting in gratitude for this opportunity to live. You know, when I look back, you know, and I almost gave that out. And I just,
it is a wow.
To not live fully is just a shame.
You know, it's
just not allowing you to, I mean, you're in the process. And it is a process.
It is, yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, Ron, it's been absolutely wonderful having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and share your wisdom with our listeners. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, if I can be of any support to you or anyone else in your audience, you can let me know, okay?
I will. All right.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed everything that Ron had to share in his podcast. It was a really exciting conversation for me, because it was just validating about elevated life, like helping people learn how to move out of fear and move into love and how to live an elevated life. For us to be able to have gratitude for this one life and to really be able to live full out. And I just want everyone to know you do not have to do that alone. As Ron was sharing, you know, he's done a lot of executive coaching and he's got a lot of programs, which we have in the podcast notes. Make sure you look at the offers. There's some free downloads in there as well. But he talks about the journey, and that's what we talk about here at Elevated Life, that it is a journey, one that you do not have to take alone. And if you really want to live that elevated life, live fully, live joyously, to bring in all the things that you've learned over your lifetime and to create meaning and purpose behind it, instead of letting it all be fear-based and letting it accumulate and take you down. We don't want that. We want meaning and purpose and to understand it's all for your growth. So that's what Elevated Life is all about. And Ron, thank you so much for sharing your story. And as I've said before, if you found this helpful, please share it. We are really trying to create a movement here in the world where we're shifting out of fear and moving into love and living a conscious life, building a conscious community. And that's what we love to do here at Elevated Life Academy. So thank you so much. Until we meet again, you're so appreciated.
Thank you for joining us on another uplifting journey on Sheree Lindberg's Elevated Life Academy, Stories of Hope and Healing. If you found resonance or connection with what you've heard today, we encourage you to share this episode and consider becoming a subscriber. Please spread the word so others can live an elevated life.